And thank you so much, Brother Thomas, for letting me come. Dr. Broyhill, I appreciate the invitation. And Brother Morales and all of you that are here and the staff here, what you're doing to train young people for the Lord, I certainly thank the Lord for it. What a joy it is to be involved in the work of God. And I am so thrilled and so burdened for these young people that want to live for the Lord. And we want you not just to just get in there, just to say you got in there. We want you to live out your purpose. And we so thank the Lord for that. I want to thank Pastor Hartree and the members there at Kerwin for hosting me this week. And these young men, I appreciate all of them that got up this morning and drove me here. Thank you for being here, and thank you for allowing me to do this while I'm with you all. I don't take it for granted. For those of you that came today for this meeting, what a joy that we can get together on a Tuesday morning and talk about Jesus. Amen. And talk about what he wants to do in our lives. And to convince you that whatever he's doing is the best thing for you. For you Christian school students, I went to Christian school from K-4 to 12th grade. And Christian school is one of the easiest places to backslide. But it's one of the best places to find God's will for your life. And here you are on a Tuesday morning. Down the road, they go to school. They could never have something like this. And if we're not careful, we get into meetings like this, and we'll think that by being Christian, we're missing out on something. Yeah, you're missing out on heartache and headache. And you're getting in on the blessings of God. So certainly don't disdain what God is doing. I'm so glad to see you. Miss Lori, great to see you, and I appreciate the girls from Farmers. Serve the Lord. God has a plan for your life, and I pray he uses you in a great way. Open your Bibles to the Gospel of Matthew chapter 14, would you? The Gospel of Matthew chapter number 14. And I want you, if you're physically able, to stand to your feet with me for the reading of God's Word. I don't know about you. I'm glad. I am so glad that I have a Bible. And I'm so glad that the Bible changes lives. And I'm convinced it'll do just a fine job this morning. Matthew 14, if you would, verse number 22. And straightway, Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side. And while he sent the multitudes away, and when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now tossed. Sometimes the ship gets tossed, huh? The Bible says he was there alone. And the Bible says the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. When the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a spirit." And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, "Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid." Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water." He said, "Come." And when Peter was come out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried, saying, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him, said unto him, "O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt?" And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. Then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, "Of a truth, thou art the Son of God." Let the church say amen.
Amen.
Let's pray together. Our Father, I pray that you'd help me today. Cleanse me of sin. Empty me of self and fill me with your Spirit. God, I know I need you today, and I know you don't need me. And yet today I'm standing in front of people who are desperate for you. And I pray, God, that you'd move in this service like only you can. I pray, God, that you would take every distraction from our minds away and that you'd point us to our purpose. I pray, God, that you would use this portion of scripture like you have time and time again to strengthen us. And I pray you'd watch over my wife and family while I'm gone. We love you. Thank you for being God in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing. In Matthew chapter 14, prior to our text, we're going to watch the Lord Jesus Christ do one of the most famous miracles in all of the Bible. The feeding of the 5,000. If we're not careful, we approach the Bible and watch these stories unfold before our eyes and treat them as if they are Disney movies. Look at them like they're some fiction book. Like when God said he parted the Red Sea, like, he parted the Red Sea. No, he really parted the Red Sea. I mean, when the Bible said they walked across on dry ground, they didn't walk across on slushy ground, they walked across on dry ground. Amen. And when God took a lunch that was made for one boy, and took it and multiplied it and fed 5,000 people, that's not a fairy tale. That really happened. Listen to me. I don't care what kind of skills you got. I don't care how many Food Network stations you watch. You can't take a lunch for one person and feed 5,000 people unless you got something going on. Amen. And he did it. Amen. And he did it. By the way, he didn't just give them a sample, a piece of bourbon chicken on a toothpick. He filled them. Amen. What a God we serve. I'm glad he's not just interested in giving us samples. He's interested in filling us. And there those disciples were, traveling from place to place and from miracle to miracle and from sign to sign. I'd have loved to have been alive when Jesus walked on planet Earth. I'd have loved to see him take that dirt and spit it in and put it on somebody's eyes and give them sight, and to touch that leper that nobody wanted to touch and to see him cleanse, and to take that withered hand and restore it back again. I'd have loved to see Jesus do what he did. There was nobody like Jesus Christ. And they watched him. And they were amazed. And then he sent them away. While away, he went to a mountain to pray, and they got on a ship. And that ship started tossing and turning. And that wind started blowing in a contrary direction. And those fellows found themselves in a scenario that they didn't predict. Jesus was somewhere else. These disciples were on this ship. And all of a sudden, he showed up. Aren't you glad he knows when to show up? Well, I'm thankful. I'm glad he knows when to show up. Just in the nick of time, he shows up. The Bible tells us in the fourth watch of the night, somewhere between 3 and 6 a.m. I mean, it's so dark you can't even see your hand in front of you probably. And all of a sudden, here they are on this boat. Now remember, the last time they'd seen Jesus, he was doing something amazing. That was nothing new. Every time they went somewhere with him, he was doing something amazing. But now, here they are on this ship, and here Jesus comes, walking on the water. But here in the passage of Scripture, we're going to watch one of those disciples, that loud, outspoken disciple, Peter. He, in Matthew 14, is going to go from watching Jesus do something amazing to doing something amazing himself. How did he get there? How did he get from he feeds the 5,000, he cleanses the lepers, he forgives the debtors, he makes the blind see, he makes the lame walk, he makes the mute talk, he makes the dead live again? How did Peter get from watching Jesus do amazing things to doing something amazing himself? And how did he get to do it in the most unlikely circumstances? I think this way. Peter went from Jesus doing something amazing to him doing something amazing for one reason. He wanted in on it. I want you to hear me well. He wanted in on it. Here's what happened in Peter's life. He had been around Jesus, and I want to tell you something. There ain't anybody better to be around than the Lord Jesus Christ. He watched Jesus do amazing things. And by the way, it shouldn't surprise us when Jesus does amazing things. I know we're living in perilous times. I know the world's getting wicked. I know that sin's on every hand. But I want to tell you, sin ain't going to supersede my Savior. Amen. I'm glad that in America, in a postmodern society with secularism and emotionalism and ecumenicalism and every other kind of ism running wild, I'm glad that I serve a Savior who still does amazing things. And I am not willing to concede Jesus second place to anybody. He's still number one, and there's still nobody like him. But I'm here to tell you, in these perilous times, we're riding on a ship that's tossing. We're riding in wind that's contrary. We're riding in circumstances that are unlikely. I'll tell you what we need in 2019 among young people and adults alike. We need some men, women, boys and girls that'll say, yes, he is amazing, and that's what we expect. Yes, he is supernatural, and that's what we expect. Yes, he is awesome, and that's what we expect. But if he's that good, and he is, if he's that great, and he is, if he's that glorious, and he is, if he's that grand, and he is, just maybe I don't just have to watch him do great things. I can do great things for him. I came here this morning to find out who wants in on it. Who wants in on it? They have too many Christian people who have settled for riding the ship. See, our Bible colleges would be busting out the seams if more kids wanted in on it. Come on now. Our churches would be growing like weeds if more people wanted in on it. But the fact of the matter is, there are a lot of Christians that are just content to be in the church, in the seat, in the pew. Come on now, in the family of God. It's a whole lot better than the rest of the world. I want to tell you, Peter made his way into Matthew chapter 14 because just being in the ship wasn't good enough. Just being on the boat wasn't good enough. Just being one of the 12 wasn't good enough. He believed in his heart that God is not only great enough to do great things, God is great enough to let me do some great things. And I'm asking you, if just for a few moments today you would break away from mediocrity, you would break away from average, you would break away from status quo, and you would let a God who is alive, a God who does rule and reign, a God who's just as great as he was in Matthew 14, if you let a God get you in on it. Now write this down quickly if you would. I want in on it. Number one, begins with a desire for more. A desire for more. Peter, how'd you end up walking on water? Well, I'll tell you why. I wanted to. Now some of you thinking, well preacher, that doesn't make a lot of sense to me. Could I tell you, 12 of them could have walked if they really wanted to. Come on. I said 12 of them could have walked if they really wanted to. And can I tell you what's missing in young people today is passion. I said what's missing in Christian people today is passion. Amen. Oh, we're in church 3 times a week, but that doesn't mean we have passion. I mean, we carry our Bibles, but that doesn't mean we have passion. I mean, we sing in the choir, but that doesn't mean we have passion. I mean, we got a lot going on, but that doesn't mean we have passion. I want to tell you, Peter had rare passion, and his rare passion was met with a reassuring presence. I'll tell you, when you get your passion to show up with his presence, something great will happen. I wonder if there's a young man that says, it ain't good enough just to go to Christian school. It ain't good enough just to be in a good family. It ain't good enough not to be a gangbanger or some rapper. It ain't good enough just to not have my pants sagging or to wear a suit and tie. God must have something more for me. It ain't good enough just to wear a long skirt. It ain't good enough just to be cute. It ain't good enough not to be some teenager hung out in prostitution or immorality. God has a plan for my life. I'm just wondering if there's anybody that believes God's got something more for you. It ain't good enough just to graduate from Bible college. It ain't good enough just to work a bus route. Not if God has more for you. Wow. The desire for more. Lord, if it be thou. bid me. Oh, he had a rare passion. He had a reassuring presence. He had a radical plea. God, bid me. Bid me. When's the last time you asked God to let you do something more for Him? When's the last time you asked God to let you lead more souls to Him? Let your prayer life go further for Him. Let your Bible reading go further for Him. Let your impact on people go further for Him. I remember sitting in a Christian school as a 9-year-old boy. I remember being in a pastor's home as a 9-year-old boy when God called me to preach. And I remember preaching at 9, from 9 to 16, preaching as much as I could. But I remember as a 16-year-old boy walking into a rec center and looking around me at a bunch of kids that were lost and on their way to a devil's hell. And they didn't know how to find Jesus, but He was looking for them. And I remember saying to myself, there's God to be more than just growing up in a preacher's home. There's got to be more than just being sheltered from nonsense. There's got to be more than not going to public school and saying, I never drunk this, I never ate this, I never said this, I never went here. It makes for good preaching and it makes for a good sermon illustration. But if that's all God has for me, I must be missing out. I remember, God, can you take me who's never been in that and take them who are all up in that and somehow let me get them to you. God, you gotta have something more for me. The desire for more was met, if you would, with a directive to move. And he said, the authoritative individual, and he said, the authentic invitation, come. Come. Oh, how those words, that one word must have sounded to Peter. He said, I can come. He said, I can come. Now listen to me now. Nobody in the whole Bible had ever been invited to walk on water. Nobody else would ever be invited to walk on water. But when Jesus said to Peter, come, Peter heard those words as they were specifically for him. Wow. You ever heard God say something specifically for you? I'm not talking about the overall message for the body. I'm not talking about the overall sermon for the chapel. I'm not talking about the overall thought for the audience. I'm talking about when you have heard the real bona fide voice of the Lord Jesus Christ saying, you right there, you that are hungry and thirsty for righteousness, come on, be righteous. You that want to preach, come on, preach. You that want to stay pure, go ahead and be pure. You that want to go to the mission field, go to the mission field. You that want to get closer to me, come closer to me. I'm telling you, sometimes we hear the sermon from the preacher, but we miss the word from the Lord. We get the notes on the outline, but we don't get the invitation from the outliner. I'm telling you, I want to serve in the overflow, where I don't just come to church and hear sermons, but I come into His presence and hear His voice. We got a lot of mama called and daddy called preachers. Mama called and daddy called Bible college students. You 40 or so prospective students that came here this morning wondering if Calvary is the place for you. Look at the classes. Look at the facilities. Discuss the prices. Read the handbook. Get all the information you can. But before you make your final decision, you tune all that out and you tune your headphones to heaven and you find out if you hear Jesus' voice saying come. Because if you come for any other reason, you won't last anyway.
Amen.
Amen. Don't come to school for the girls. Don't come to school for the boys. Don't come to school for the price. Don't come to school for the facilities. Don't come to school for the dorms. Don't come to school for the food. Don't come to school for the recognition. Don't come to school for the credibility. Don't come for the school. Come to school for the accreditation. Don't come to school for the convenience. Don't come because it's easy. Don't come because it's hard. Don't come because somebody you like came. Or don't come because somebody you don't like didn't come. You come because the one who put the stars in place, the one who put the moon in space, the one who created the world out of nothing and made it into something. The one who made you and has a plan for your life. You come because He says come.
Amen.
That's right.
The desire for more. The directive to move. Number three, the demonstration of a miracle. And when he was come down out of the ship, he started walking on water. Wow. Brother Poindexter, I can't begin to imagine what it must have felt like to be doing that. Now watch that. Peter didn't come from a family of water walkers. Okay, there was no chat room where guys got every evening and talked about, so how's your water walking experience going? Did anybody listen to me? Nobody's sitting on that boat going, I knew it was coming. I knew it was coming. I knew it was coming. I knew it was a matter of time before that boy came into his own. I knew it was a matter of time before he finally woke up and knew he was supposed to walk on water. His daddy walked on water. His granddaddy walked on water. His great granddaddy walked on water. His whole family full of water walkers. It's about time Peter finally caught up. No. Nobody in his family walked on water. Nobody in the community walked on water. Nobody in that area walked on water. Nobody else in the Bible walked on water. And I'm going to tell you, when you want in on something God is doing in your life, you'll find out that God will have you doing something you've never done before. And to try to describe the experience, it's a matchless experience when you get to do something that you know only God can do through you. Now, preacher, I don't know what it was like to walk on water because I've never walked on water, but I know what it's like to stand up and handle that B-I-B-L-E. I know what it's like to have a wife that loves me and loves God and to raise children and the nurture and admonition of the Lord. I know what it's like to mount a pulpit at 5811 Hoffman's Lane, Bayless Crossroads, Virginia 22041 at the Crossroads Baptist Church, where nothing but the grace and mercy and the favor of Almighty God and the anointing of the Holy Spirit has so privileged me to stand every day as the pastor of Crossroads Baptist Church. I've never walked on water, but I'll tell you right now, sure as I'm black and breathing, I couldn't be doing what I'm doing unless Jesus was doing it through me. And I can't begin to describe what it feels like to step away from normalcy and do the supernatural. Wow. The matchless experience. Notice if you would, the motivated effort. He began to walk on water. Now watch this now. The Bible says to go to Jesus. I'll tell you what's wrong with a lot of people in this movement today.
Come on.
We got too many superstars. We got too many superstars. I mean, the Joker ready to sign Bibles. He didn't even preach yet. We don't even know if he can preach. I mean, we got so many blogs and so many image posting.
Yeah.
And so much bragging. You know what people are doing? People are trying to find out where the photo op is. Don't you dare get on the internet, preacher, and post 10 people got saved at your church yesterday, even if they did, because somebody going to get on there just because you didn't say, we had 11. We had 11. And then you're going to think about it. Well, maybe I better try to get 12 next week.
Yeah.
Huh? Instead of thinking about the fact there's joy in the presence of the angels when one is going to repent. We ain't in competition. We're trying to build the kingdom. We're trying to win souls. Come on now. I'll tell you what the problem is. There are too many people that God doesn't have walking on water because he knows soon as they do, they'll be too busy trying to sign autographs. I want to tell you, there's a lot of people that are doing things that are impressive. But one thing you can be sure of, it ain't the work of God if it gets you more glory and doesn't get you closer to Jesus. I'll tell you why we know God was at work. He was doing something and amazing, and whatever he was doing amazing got him closer to the master. When you do something for God through his power, you ain't trying to sign Bibles. You're doing it for one reason. Down goes Goliath, off goes his head, cheering goes the Israelite. And David says, I'll tell you why I'm doing it. Not to sign Bibles, not to get Saul's daughter, not to be the next man, not to be all up in the Bible writing a bunch of songs. No, that all the earth may know there's a God in Israel. So if you're in here this morning going, yeah, I really like to pull off something amazing for him, for yourself, stay on the boat. Stay on, don't come here. No, don't come to Bible college. You save yourself some gas and go to community college up the road from the house and get your McDonald's job on the side. And build your social media status and go find the champion inside of you. But if you're trying to do something great for the glory of God, I'd say to you, go and get out the boat.
Amen.
Go and get out the boat.
Yes, sir.
the demonstration of a miracle. Now notice the next one. The distraction of the mind. Now notice the phrase in Scripture. And when he saw the wind boisterous. Oh yeah, it's pretty easy. I know why Peter went down. Just when he was getting good at it, the wind picked up. Poor guy. First time he's ever walked on water. Don't the dummy know if you're going to walk on water, you better try your first time in favorable climate. I mean, if you ain't good at something, don't try it in the storm. You know what I'm saying? Are you understand what I'm saying? If you can't jump, you better not try to dunk in the game. I mean, lower the goal. Put it down to 8 feet. Dunk. Take a picture of it. Put it on Instagram. And don't tell nobody how low the goal was. You understand what I'm saying? I mean, if you can't dunk with nobody on the court, you better not try to dunk on somebody.
Yeah.
Is anybody following me? Yeah. Some of you are not saying amen because you must have tried it. Now, watch this now. Peter, I'll tell you what happened. You were doing great, but you tried your first gig at walking on water during heavy wind blowing. That's why you sunk. Wrong. He ain't sink because the wind picked up. The wind was blowing when he got out.
Yeah. Amen.
He didn't sink because the storm. He was storming when he first started walking on water. It didn't blow any harder when he got on the water. It was blowing when he got out the water. How did he start walking? He looked at Jesus. Why did he start sinking? He stopped looking at Jesus.
Yeah. Come on.
Right. If we're not careful, we'll take way too long explaining why people are failing and coming up with new reasons. If we're not careful, we'll be having idea conferences to discuss why people aren't living for God. That's a waste of time.
Yeah, that's right.
We don't need an idea conference why people aren't living for God. We already know. They take their eyes off of God, they stop living for God. Now, if we want to have ideas about how to keep them living for God, that's fine. We'll need to spend a lot of time figuring out why people sink. Let me tell you something. You don't sink because the world's gotten bad. Nobody ever served God in a good world. So don't humor yourself. Oh, my goodness. I tell you, these people trying to get us to serve God, us millennials. I tell you, they know all the mess we got on the Internet, all the foolishness we got on the Internet. They see how bad Hollywood is and homosexuality and abortion and politics and racism and all this mess. They served God back in the day when you didn't have no sin around. I mean, you had to walk a long way to get to sin and you got tired, so you turned around and went back home. But now sin's right there on our smartphone. I tell you, probably we give them smartphones to dumb people. And now all of a sudden, they're looking up nonsense, and some of you think, I can't expect to live for God in this great day, in this day and age, because the world's too wicked and the wind's blowing too hard, and it's a lot deeper than it was when my parents grew up. They didn't have all that sin I had to deal with. Let me tell you something. In Genesis chapter 6, when Noah lived right, the world was exceedingly wicked. There was violence on every hand. It wasn't a good day when Noah did right. It wasn't a good day when Enoch did right. It wasn't a good day when Moses did right. It wasn't a good day when Abraham did right. It wasn't a good day when Rahab did right. It wasn't a good day when Joshua did right. It wasn't a good day when Daniel did right. It wasn't a good day when Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego did right. It wasn't a good day when Joseph did right. It wasn't a good day when David did right. It wasn't a good day when Matthew did right. It wasn't a good day when Peter did right. It wasn't a good day when Paul did right. It wasn't a good day when your mama did right. It wasn't a good day when your daddy did right. It wasn't a good day when your preacher did right. It ain't a good day when you do right. But I will tell you, in a bad day, we still got a good God. Shifted focus. Eyes off of him, eyes on stuff. Now, I will say this. A whole lot more stuff for you to put your eyes on. But you're not going to sink because there's more stuff. You'll sink because you stop looking at him. See, shifted focus led to subsequent fear. He got afraid. Now, why wasn't he afraid when he first got out? Because Jesus trumps fear.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Amen.
Listen to me. It was never easy when you served God, but somehow you did it looking at him.
Yeah, that's good. True.
Turn your eyes upon Jesus. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim. Listen to me. In the light of his glory, it's amazing how he outshines all the world's bling. Come on now. Let me tell you something. Listen, you look at him, you'll find out he's more impressive than top 10. Come on now. You look at him, you'll find out he's more entertaining than video games. Come on now. You look at him, you'll find out you'll have more joy serving him than you'll ever have fulfillment living for that. Listen to me. You look at him long enough, you'll stay pure until you get married. You look at him long enough, you'll be in Bible college and not necessarily where it's careerly most effective. I'll tell you, you keep looking at him, the things of this world that will kill you won't scare you, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. If you're living in fear, you ain't looking at the Savior.
Amen.
And then, sinking figure. Down he goes. Down he goes. Write down this next point, the deliverance of the Master. Personal realization. Lord! Save me! Now watch this now. He walked on water because he asked for himself. He got delivered from drowning because he asked for himself. You got any members you're praying for to stop drowning and they keep drowning? Yeah, they won't ask for themselves. You parents got a kid that you'd love to see do right? And you listen, you'd give up your life to see them do right and they're still drowning. You know why? You know they're drowning, but they won't admit it. I know people that got water coming out their nose. You hear me now? Their ears are stopped up. You hear me now? They're gasping for spiritual air. Listen, they're in church, but they're on life support. And you know what they tell you? My breathing's fine. You can't even get your words out good. You have no joy. You have no excitement. You have no contentment. Your appearance has changed. Your social media has changed. Don't get quiet. I'm not trying to get in your business. I'm trying to get all up in your business. And I'm trying to tell you, you better quit lying to yourself, because everybody and they mama can tell you're drowning.
Amen.
Lord, save me! Going underneath the waves is the wrong time to be cute. I'm drowning. I need the altar. I'm drowning. I need to go now. I'm drowning. That message had my name on it. But I ain't going to go, because they're going to know I'm drowning if I go. They already know.
Yeah. Yes, sir. Come on.
They done read your Facebook.
Amen.
And you know your fingers have less conscience than your mouth does.
Right.
So you type without thinking, and you didn't say I am drowning, but the way you talked gave all the symptoms of a drowning individual.
Right.
And you worry about going to the altar because you don't want anybody to know you're drowning. They knew before you got there you were drowning.
Amen.
They're just wondering when you're going to catch up with everybody else.
That's good. Amen.
Who you think, including Jesus and those disciples, couldn't tell Peter was going down? I got a car this morning with these gentlemen, rode here to preach to you this morning to ask you, would you finally admit you're drowning? I'm going down! You keep lying, you keep acting, you keep imaging yourself like you got it all together. It won't be long before it's too late!
Amen.
Personal realization. Watch this now. There's a prompt reach. As soon as Peter said, Lord, save me. Notice what the scripture said. I'm away from my Bible. Let me see that. Is the King James Bible?
Yes, sir.
All right. Notice what the Bible said. Immediately. Immediately. Did you hear me now? Immediately, Jesus stretched forth his hand. Now I'm just going to be honest with you. If I'm Jesus, I'm going to let that boy breathe hard a little while. Oh, yeah, you think you all that? Now you done gone down? I'm going to get you. But you're going to for a little while before I get you. I have a big cousin named Sean. Sean felt like it was God's calling for him to make me tough. And my mom and his mom, sisters, would leave me with him. I mean, that's like leaving me with a serial killer. And Sean thought it would build up my toughness if he'd take a pillow, put it over my head, and pull it off just so I could barely breathe. And as soon as I, he'd put a pillow back over my head. If you got in the pool with Sean, Sean holds you under the water and then tell you, you want to breathe? Put you back underneath the water. It didn't make me stronger, it made me better. Sean's still alive, but I hate him. No, I'm just kidding. But really, that's the way he did. Aren't you glad Jesus doesn't do us that way?
Yeah. Amen.
You've been going down and said, God, I need you. God, I need you now. God, I need you right now. And aren't you glad he didn't say, no, I ain't coming right now because you tried to act like you were all that at Bible college and you tried to tell your parents that you knew better than they did. And you sat up in church in the front row knowing you just had some horns underneath your halo. Breathe that water in. As a matter of fact, let your heart stop beating. Let the CPR not work. And we'll finally put those charge things on your chest and make a movie out of it because I want you to remember. Don't you ever take your eyes off. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad that when we call, he answers? I'm glad I never get a secretary. I'm glad I never get a voicemail. I'm glad he's never out the office. I'm glad I never talked to the answer machine. I'm glad he never says, take a pager, and when it rings, your table's ready. I'm glad when I cry, he answers. Some of you need to cry this morning. Save me, God. For some of you, if you graduate from high school and you go where you're planning to go, you're done. You're done. You're going to drown. You may not die physically, but you will be so out of it spiritually that it will take a miracle of God to get you out. Why don't you cry now?
Amen.
Before you get there?
Yes, sir.
A powerful deliverance. He pulled him out. I'm glad he knows how to pull us out.
Amen.
Now listen to me. Listen. Everybody that you look up to has had themselves pulled out before. Come on now. I know you're thinking, oh, not my pastor. He never went underneath the water. I mean, that's why he get on my nerves. He don't look like he ever drowns. His clothes don't even look wet. He walk on water with his eyes closed. Matter of fact, his wife told me she woke up in the middle of the night the other night. He was walking on water in his sleep. I mean, I can't walk on water when I practice. And my preacher walks on water. Let me tell you something. He may look like he walks on water in his sleep, but he would tell you there have been some times his little sanctified sermonizing self found himself underneath the billows and he didn't have time to get cute in the pulpit. In the middle of the night fighting the devil by himself, he had to cry out to Jesus without his title, without his life verse, without his Facebook page and say in so many short words, Lord, save me. And his preachified self would be the first to tell you right then and there, God reached down and pulled him out. And I'd just like to pause down in King, North Carolina and say, I'm glad he knows how to pull me out. Shazam. Amen. What a rescue. And then appointed reprimand, right? That's like Jesus. All right, I got you out, man. But not without a lesson. Why'd you doubt? Why'd you doubt? See, we're not careful. My kids are like this sometimes. They know they were wrong. They get busted for being wrong. But they don't really want you to talk long about it. I got it, Daddy. Please don't. No. Hold on. You don't mess up and then tell me how to correct you. No, you're going to sit down. And ain't nothing worse than listening to Daddy go on and on.
Amen.
Huh? I mean, Mama go on and on, but you done heard it so much, you can tune it out. But Daddy, when Daddy go on and on, it's just like it's crucifixion. Slowly, he puts one hand to the cross and the other hand to the cross and both feet to the cross and the crown of thorns. And it just seems like he just so directly just pierces. Parents, the kids don't like to be reprimanded by Daddy because he just kind of hits it where it hurts. Could you imagine Peter? He just came off life support. And he can't get in the boat good before Jesus looks at him and says, "Why'd you doubt?" Peter, before you go writing a book on your story of water walking and how God saved you, let's make sure you get the details right. Don't put in the book, "You sunk because of the storm." You sunk because of your doubt. And it's an indictment. Seems like every time we turn, another preacher's falling. Ah, they're falling because the pressures of the men, they're falling because they doubt. And I'm not belittling anybody because I take my eyes off of God. I don't care how much I got going for me. I go down too. You better learn the Bible in Bible college, but you better learn to know the God who wrote the Bible in Bible college. Come on. Because there'll be some times when you don't have a Bible near you, but you better know how to hear His voice. You better not doubt Him. You better not act like the circumstances of the world are more powerful than the authority of your God.
Amen.
Wow. Peaceful. Peaceful rest. Peaceful rest. They got back in the ship, and there was a calm. Of course, not like peace. When I go out of town, I don't like to go to Walmart. My kids, they probably already won't. When I get back to the room, they won't go to Walmart. We won't go to the mall. I don't like Walmart because Walmart has too many choices. See, we go in there for one thing. We come out with 12. Anybody listening? See, Walmart's slick. See, they put the section you need way back there, so you have to pass 8 sections to get to the section you need to get to. You never make it to the section you came in there for because the temptation of them other 8 sections distract you. So we go to Walmart, I tell my wife, "Give me the list. You stay here. Let me go in. Because I can fight that temptation." There's a lot of stuff. Walmart got everything. They don't sell peace. When you're laying in the bed, college student, in the middle of the night, and you're away from home, and you're homesick, and you don't know how you're going to pay your tuition, and you're scared to death at the prospect of pulling off ministry when you get out of Bible college, and you're wondering where in the world you're going to find a spot to serve God 5 years from now, and the thought to doing something different comes across your mind, when you find Jesus beside you and peace comes, ain't nothing like it.
Yes, sir. Amen.
Peaceful rest. Amen. And the positive recognition of a truth. He's the Son of God. You learn who He is after the storm. We're riding over here this morning, and I was just thinking about the goodness of God. Living for Him. Living the dream. I run out of words sometimes to describe how overwhelmed I am at the goodness of God.
Amen.
I mean, I remember dreaming about doing this. I'm serious. Dreaming about doing this. And I'm doing this. And God's given me a wonderful family, 4 adopted sons, 2 other sons, 2 daughters. My wife had a church, a ministry. I'm overwhelmed. Sometimes I look down and go, "How in the world? What in the world I'm doing up here? This makes no sense. What in the world? What? How am I doing what he?" You look at verses in the Bible where Jesus made these statements: "Greater works will you do than me." And you think to yourself, "How in the world does God in the flesh make a statement to fleshly human beings? You're going to do greater things than I did." And what a miracle. I tell you what, when Jesus preached on earth, He preached to one crowd and only the crowd there heard Him. I'm able to preach every Sunday and people in a foreign country can hear me at the same time. Greater works than these.
That's right. How about that?
He limited Himself to one locality. With technology today, we have the ability to take a message and send it all over the world in seconds. Greater works than these. The question is not whether Jesus can do great things. What do you think? He's God.
Amen. Yes, sir.
The question is, can we? And I'm here to tell you, without a doubt, I went in on it. Do you? Or are you cool with the way things are? Forever, Peter is etched in Scripture for walking on water. 12 others could have been there right with him. They just didn't want it bad enough. How about you? Our Father,